Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of September 5th, 2022. This week we pray in thanksgiving for God's life-giving gift of water and for his life-saving gift of holy baptism. Our first reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Our next reading comes from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 14. Now, great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the reading for our discussion is from Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servants said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. He put another parable before them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, Yes. And he said to them, Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I recently heard that in Alaska, they can grow enormous vegetables, the likes of which you will not see anywhere in the country. I looked up the phenomenon, and in an article on AmusingPlanet.com called Alaska's Giant Vegetables by Kashik Patawari, you can see photos of some of the largest cabbage, broccoli, and other vegetables that you've ever seen. The article is from about 6 years back, but they report produce like a 138-pound cabbage. I don't think I could even eat one of those, even if you gave me a week to do that. Or a 65-pound cantaloupe and a 35-pound broccoli. And in the included picture, you can see a giant leafy cabbage that takes up an entire pallet. It's that large. I've always been fascinated by curiosities like these, gigantic plants and animals And if you were to tread through the garden of these giant cabbages, you might wonder if you were trespassing in the garden of a giant. Think Jack and the Beanstalk. California's growing season is 300 days. So why doesn't California have vegetables like this, even while Alaska's season is only 105 days for growing? Well, it's because Alaska gets 19 hours of sunlight in the growing season. And because there is a boost in photosynthesis, the produce is sweeter. In contrast, I must admit that in the garden, I've had good years and bad years. While last year I couldn't grow a zucchini to save my life, this year I seem to have trouble with tomatoes, which I usually do well with. This year I had a zucchini seed that somehow ended up in the very corner of my growing box, and the seed shot out a vine that grew into a very fine plant, which is now producing its 10th and 11th zucchinis of the summer, which from my experience is not bad at all. Pardon my expression, I call it the umbilical cord zucchini because it is that vine which keeps the entire flourishing plant alive and nourishes it. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus speaks several parables. The first is what is called the parable of the sower. Jesus says that the purpose of these parables is to fulfill what the prophet says, that people would hear these words of God and never understand, while those who actually did understand would be blessed. So parables, in a way, are coded language. They are metaphors for the way God works and the things of God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 13 is a chapter chock full of parables. The parables of Jesus tell us about the work of God through the Christ, the way the kingdom of God operates, and they give analogies for the ways that God operates in relation to us. Whether it be describing God's love and mercy, how he will handle the good and the evil in this world, and how he takes care of those who love him. Jesus told stories because they connect with people. Stories connect with the way people think. It's hard to remember all the details of a list of facts, isn't it? But if you can get your point across with a story that imparts a truth, that can be very effective to get to a deeper relating level. People will carry that with them. People will remember those things. If a person does not understand the analogy, because Jesus is imparting deeper mysteries that the people will not understand without the right decode, they may be affected on that deeper level, certainly moved, but not understanding why they are moved and why these stories are so powerful. For the one who believes in Jesus, he will give understanding. The book of Revelation is completely full of metaphors. It was written in a coded language that the people of the churches would understand. Yet, an outsider who found someone carrying these texts would not understand, and so they might be inclined to let them go on their way without harm. So that is another reason for coded language, so that some will understand and others will not. In the parable of the sower is not like a typical farmer. The farmer wants generally to plant on the best ground, not in areas where the seed is unlikely to grow or where it is difficult to harvest. But this sower is careless, sowing seed everywhere. Some seeds fell along a path, others on rocky ground, among the thorns, and others on good soil. The seed is the word of God, and God sows it with, let us say, reckless abandon. The seed sown along the path is when the devil comes and snatches away what is sown in a person's heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is where a person receives God's word with joy, but because of shallow roots, it may endure for a time, but eventually the person falls away because of persecution or difficulty in life. The word represented by the seed sown among the thorns is where the world's cares and the deceit of riches choke out the word so that it cannot grow into powerful faith. But the seed sown on good soil yields tremendously, 100-fold, 60, 30, because the seed found fruitful soil. Kind of like my phenomenal zucchini this year, only much more prolific. Now consider those different hearers, the different kinds of soil on which the seeds of the gospel fell. Where do the people in your life fall? How can we prevent the people in our lives from falling away? Well, it certainly is up to God's Holy Spirit, but we can think of our witness to various people and our care for them in our lives. Now, switching gears just a little bit, Jesus' parable of the weeds is a parable which, for me, powerfully explains the way things in this world work. We put in our best efforts sometimes, but we don't get results, and we find that perhaps it is because of a case of sabotage. The man sows good seed in his field, but an enemy comes and sows all kinds of weeds among the wheat. The wheat grows along with the wheat, and the master realizes that an enemy has done this to the crop. The servants think the solution is to pluck the weeds out right away. Unfortunately, they are hopelessly tangled with the wheat. Yet, there's more growing to take place. Taking out the weeds would irreparably damage the crops. So the master tells them all to wait for the harvest. Then have the reapers gather the weeds and bind them in bundles. The bundles will be burned. The wheat will be gathered into the barn. Jesus explained that parable when the crowds left. It is the Son of Man, Jesus, who sows the good seed, which is the sons of the kingdom of God planted in the field, which is the world. The enemy who sows weeds is the devil. The reapers are angels. At the end of the age, the evil one's weeds will be gathered up and thrown in the fiery furnace. For such people there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, deep despair and regret. The righteous, those who believe in Christ, will enter into God's kingdom. As we go through this world, we will encounter sons and daughters of both situations. We desire to be among the wheat, and that will only be through God's Son, Jesus Christ. The parable of the mustard seed is about God's expanding kingdom. I like to think of something like an expanding star that just keeps growing and growing, with the difference that God's kingdom will be without limitations on its ability to grow and will never explode like a star. It will never go supernova. Think of this little tiny seed that grows into an enormous plant. There are a number of seeds like that which are very tiny and grow into large plants. Though the seed is small, when the plant grows up, birds can nest in its branches. In the same way, God's kingdom expands like leaven in a loaf of bread. It is ever expanding and growing. Think of Jesus entering into the world and expanding God's kingdom in leaps and bounds. Think of him going from village to village and his healing power going into the created world, the field that has been sown with weeds. Jesus, in the most natural and healthy way, eliminates weeds and pests as he goes, although we are speaking in a metaphor here, and there are places where metaphors always break down, and some details aren't always covered or fully fleshed out. Verse 44 talks about a treasure hidden in a field. This one always intrigued me because the man covers up the treasure and goes and buys the field. Wouldn't this be deceptive, especially if he didn't tell the current owner? At seminary, we learned, though I cannot remember the name of the book, it was so long ago, that in their culture and according to their law, it was perfectly appropriate to do what the man did. The treasure didn't become the owner of a field's property until it was actually lifted above the surface of the ground. So the finder gets the treasure on a technicality. But the metaphor here is that the kingdom of heaven is like a surprising windfall that a person would do anything to claim. Similarly, it is like a pearl of great value that a merchant would do anything to claim, even selling everything to buy it. This particular parable is special to me because the name Megan means pearl. And so I think of this parable when I think of my daughter's name. Our children are precious to us. Similarly, God's kingdom should be greatly precious to us, even where we would forsake the things of this life to claim it. This chapter is chock full of parables, and the next is the parable of the net. these are not all as extensive as other parables, and this section is much like a grouping of one-liners. The kingdom of heaven is like a net which gathers fish of every kind. In that respect, there will be people of every nation and every circumstance and background that will be gathered into this net. There is a judgment aspect to the net, though. Among all the good fish that will be gathered into the kingdom, there will be worthless fish and problem fish. These will just be thrown out, even thrown into the fiery furnace. Again, the fires of hell describe a place of deep despair and regret, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Finally, Jesus speaks of new and old treasures. Every scribe trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. For those of us who engage in explaining scripture, think of scripture as consisting of treasures new and old. Now, I know that the New Testament is already 2,000 years old, but think of the oldest sections of scripture and the deepest passages reaching much further into history as we consider people like Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and much later, David, and finally, Jesus. Scripture is full of treasures for our instruction, edification, and growth in faith. It is full of treasure for us, new and old. And of course, Jesus is the Messiah who fulfills all of it. A good expositor of Scripture, a pastor or scholar, can bring to life the full counsel of Scripture for hearers, bringing treasures new and old. Jesus is going to be rejected in Nazareth. The people cannot see past the idea that Jesus comes from among them, and they ask if this is the carpenter's son and the son of Mary and one having brothers and sisters in the community. These things are stumbling blocks for them, perhaps as we would see it, a source of jealousy. People can get jealous and can't stand to think of anyone being greater than them. But Jesus is greater. There's no getting around it. No other resident of Nazareth will ever have the fame that Jesus is going to have in the time to come. But Jesus is more than just a famous figure. He is the Savior. As we conclude the chapter, we learn that Jesus did not do many works there because of their unbelief. The Lutheran Study Bible has a really helpful note in understanding what is going on in this verse as to why Jesus did not do many mighty works there. The note is actually on the parallel verse of Mark chapter 6, verse 5. And what is pointed out is that the people are scoffing at the idea of Jesus' divinity. Whereas they may have demanded works from Jesus, he wasn't going to do the works on demand. They were given freely and in response to belief. They are to give of his grace. When we think of believing, we want God's kingdom to come to us, and for faith to continually grow in us as we live our lives. It is God's Holy Spirit that produces this faith in us and enlightens us in that faith. The Holy Spirit continually nourishes our faith and lifts us up in faith, much like that unceasing Alaskan light during the growing season. We pray that that growth and that kind of gentle light that produces the sweetness of faith, an abundant life in us through faith in Jesus Christ never grows dim, never quits shining. God's Holy Spirit nourishes and sustains our faith. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus Christ, in your word, you have given us treasures new and old, blessings for us to treasure in our lives as we discover your full promises and blessings for us. We look forward to the kingdom and pray that it will come, and your will be done in our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your life-giving gift of water. Water for our lives, for rain, for our crops, for drinking, for washing. We thank you for the life-giving, life-saving gift of holy baptism. We pray it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this day comes from Luke chapter 14, verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For us, this verse is a powerful reminder of our cost of living in Christ. We pray that the Lord would ever keep us in this holy faith.
On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. In my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Is my life my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Is my life's, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation.